Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, today is the birthday of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the best possible news for us is that an all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing person has come to this world to rescue us. It's actually the best possible news. Krishna has, as is often said, six opulences. And one of his, well, six opulences such as infinite beauty, infinite strength, wealth, knowledge, fame, and renunciation. In other words, if you can remain detached in the face of temptation, that is a power. That is a power, actually. And we are tempted sometimes to celebrate proudly what we feel is our achievement, and at times we are tempted to hate others for what we feel is an injustice. At times we are tempted to give way to depression or discouragement. So Krishna talks about these, this duality in the Bhagavad Gita, Harsha Shoka. Harsha literally means to become excited. And Shoka means to grieve, to lament. So, Vairagya, or detachment, means that one does not succumb to the temptation of either attachment or aversion. And Krishna's infinite ability in this regard, that there's nothing anywhere that can tempt Krishna in the sense of arousing in him, provoking in him a material desire. There's nothing that can discourage Krishna. There's nothing that can bewilder Krishna. So this is the one of Krishna's great opulences, his detachment. And yet, this detachment should not be mistaken for indifference. This issue arises at times when we teach the doctrine of detachment, and people at times interpret this doctrine to mean, or this virtue of detachment as meaning that one does not care about other people. And how can we not care about other people? How can I not care about my family and friends and so on? So, detachment does not mean indifference. Because Krishna clearly explained in the Bhagavad Gita that we are all very dear to him. Krishna told Arjuna, Priyosi me, you are dear to me. Also Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Suryadam Sarva Bhutanam, I am the true friend of every creature. So, to be absolutely neutral toward another person would mean that you could not call yourself the dear friend of that person. So Krishna is detached, but not indifferent. Krishna comes to this world, well, I mean, first of all, Krishna's in our heart. He's specifically chosen that organ in our anatomy. The heart. Krishna could have, decided that I'm going to be present in everyone's kidney, or in everyone's elbow, or knee, or lungs. And Krishna is. God is everywhere. But Krishna emphasizes in the Bhagavad Gita that he's not only everywhere, but he's especially present in our heart. So the very fact that he chooses to remain with us forever and to be in our heart, this alone tells us so much about the nature of God. Krishna, just like a loving parent, the child who is, let's say, delirious or mad in some way, the saint may curse the parents or threaten the parents, but the parents, good parents, continue to patiently attend to the children to do what is best for them. So when there is this loving relationship between parents and children, it becomes a type of unconditional bond, to the best of cases. And in the case of Krishna, there is actually nothing we can do. There is nothing we can do to chase Krishna away, to get him out of our heart. You can curse Krishna day and night, you can offend him in every way you can think of, but he remains in our heart. So Krishna not only is in our heart, and just life after life tapping us on the shoulder, trying to give us advice, like, don't do that. That is really stupid. And then we do it anyway. So Krishna is not only in our heart, but he also takes the initiative to come down to this world to present his sort of, how do you call it, yuga blockbusters. Where, just like in Hollywood, they have summer blockbusters because people, especially young people who have highly developed intellectual powers in this country, they go to movies, especially in the summer. And so they have a summer blockbuster. So Krishna comes down, and every yuga, you get with a blockbuster. So in this age, the fantastic transcendental show, drama that Krishna created for us in this age, first of all, he did it 5,000 years ago, Krishna at the end of Dwapara Yuga. And the story of Krishna's activities is narrated, of course, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, and other literatures. But Krishna says, yuge yuge, he comes in every age. And so, just as he came at the end of Dwapara Yuga, so he has a follow-up avatar, which is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like when you work at a reputable company, they do the initial installation, then there's a follow-up. So in a sense, Krishna offered everyone a service contract on the Bhagavad Gita. That if you have trouble operating your Bhagavad Gita, you can call 1-800-Vaikuntha. And a technician will come out in the form of a guru. And then Krishna himself actually comes. So this is the most, for those of us who want to be happy, and that practically is everyone, for those of us who want to be happy, who want to go beyond all suffering and achieve perfect understanding and live forever, this is the best possible news that Krishna has come. There's one Christian song, "Joy to the World, the Lord Has Come," isn't it? Music written by Handel, actually. So this is the most thrilling of events that not only a son of God or a prophet or an enlightened being like Buddha, but God himself has come personally. And Krishna, of course, talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita when he says, "Yada yada hi dharma siglanir bhavati bhavata." Whenever there is a weakening or a deterioration of dharma. And dharma here means the principles of civilized life. The principles of civilized life. We are, in a sense, human animals, but we have the potential, we have the ability, if we choose to exercise it, to regulate and moderate ourselves so that we do not simply attack each other, rape each other, steal from each other, kill each other, as animals do. We have the ability to moderate, regulate these tendencies and to live a civilized life with a higher understanding. We have the ability to understand as an objective principle that there's right and wrong, and that some things should be done not because they would enrich us materially, but simply because they're the right thing to do. We also have the unique ability in human life to understand the source of our own existence. Animals, as we know, at least some higher animals, they have they become attached to their parents in different ways. We don't have to go into all the variations of zoology here. In fact, Vedasara, where's Vedasara? Vedasara, when he was about 16 years old, told me today that he had a pet mongoose. The parent, you feed a mongoose chocolate, they'll accept you as a parent and protect you from snakes. There must be some other animal that can protect us from telemongoose. I was talking about your mongoose, Shanti.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so in human life, we have the ability to not only attach ourselves to our parents, our biological parents, but even beyond this, we can understand the ultimate source of our existence. The ultimate source of our existence is God. We have the ability not only to understand physical truth, but metaphysical truth. That is beyond the physical. So, in order for people to have a fair shot at this understanding, this knowledge, there is a system of dharma. As Prabhupada always quoted, dharma hi sakshat bhagavat pranita. The dharma is that, is the law, or those principles, personally brought forward by the Lord, pranita, personally established, brought forward by the Lord. So, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, when dharma, when civilization, for example, if in a particular neighborhood or city there is a serious outbreak of crime, it is due to the government to take special measures. So, that's basically what Krishna is saying, that when dharma is seriously declining, and avyutthanam adharma, say the opposite adharma, incivility, is rising, then Krishna says, I come myself. And his purpose, paritranaya sajunam, to deliver, to save good people. Paritranaya sajunam vinashaya javishkatam, and to, you know, throw up a red flag for the soccer. Red card. Yeah, to red card the demons. So, that's what Krishna does. And at this age, so we can say that's the principle of justice, but it goes beyond justice. There's justice and there's also mercy. In other words, there's the enforcement of justice, like quid pro quo. You've done this, you deserve that, good or bad. Everyone gets what is owed to them. But beyond mere justice, there is also compassion and Krishna's love for us. As he says in Bhagavad Gita, Suridan Sarabhutanam. So at this age, Kali Yuga, in which, you know, one of the symptoms are, well, decline of religion, the outbreak of strip malls, all kinds of kind of horrible things are going on. And so, in this age in which people are almost, I mean, on the verge of destroying their own planet, which is interesting, Krishna has come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this age, this Kali Yuga, Krishna comes in the mood of Radharani. Now this is a very, in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a most profound theological point made. The most profound. And that is the absolute truth, the Brahman, the Vedanta, the absolute truth, the source of everything, has eternally manifested himself as Radha Krishna. So that in the absolute truth there is a masculine and a feminine aspect. They say that love makes the world go round. And that's even true in the spiritual world. Because actually the absolute truth is Radha Krishna. Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayana, and so on. So then Krishna, the absolute truth, he manifests himself as Radha Krishna, but then in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, again, Radha and Krishna come together and manifest together in one form. So Krishnas Kaviraj says that originally there is one absolute truth, but that absolute truth, since time immemorial, has manifested itself as Radha and Krishna. It is Radha and Krishna. But now Radha and Krishna are coming together as a joint avatar. So that itself is the most profound form. And so you can raise it. Now, it's often said, in some of our sacred texts, why did Krishna come in the mood of Radharani? And it's often said that Krishna did this because he wanted to experience, the love of Radha for him. After all, if someone falls in love with you, it's tempting to wonder, like, what does that person see in me? And so Krishna wanted to experience the love of Radharani. But now, since this is very intimate, obviously in the teaching of spiritual knowledge, as the Acharyas have pointed out, we begin with the very, like in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2. We try to understand that we're not this body. We are eternal souls. But then ultimately, this spiritual understanding rises to knowledge of the Supreme Person, Purushottam, Krishna, and then the different rasas, the different kinds of relationships we can have with God. And ultimately, there's the understanding of this, what is called Singara Rasa or Madhura Rasa, this conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. So if Krishna, it would seem like common sense, that if Krishna wanted to experience the love of Radharani, why not do so in the spiritual world? Why do so in this world? Why would Krishna choose to experience this most intimate, advanced state of spiritual consciousness? First of all, in the material world, not the spiritual world. Second of all, on the Earth planet, which, as you know, leaves much to be desired. And thirdly, in the Kali Yuga, in this most fallen of ages. In this most fallen of ages. So why is Krishna choosing to experience this most intimate love of Radharani in the middle of Kali Yuga? Because you can start to do it in a more, you could say, appropriate place in the human spiritual world. And the answer is very simple. That because in the Kali Yuga, people are extremely fallen. This is, of course, this is the Kali Yuga. This is the most fallen age. Therefore, if Krishna came as Krishna, according to his normal standards, it would just, and who would survive? When Krishna came 5,000 years ago, nowadays, everyone is Dushkrit, practically. We now decide to Dushkrit. Practically everyone is violating in some way or other the laws of God. And so Krishna, is because Radharani is so merciful, Radharani, the feminine aspect of the Absolute Truth, is so merciful. Therefore, Krishna comes in the mood of Radharani because it's in that mood that he does not slay anyone. There's not a single person is terminated in Chaitanya Leela. Even the most demonic persons. And Krishna simply saves them. Even Nityananda tolerates so much. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna is so kind, knowing how fallen people are in this age. Krishna came in the most merciful incarnation, namely that in which is Krishna, but in the mood of the infinitely merciful feminine aspect of God, Radharani. So, this is the best possible news for us. And it's actually unique. If you look at the major world religions, and I use the term major world religions in a neutral sense, those that have the greatest impact on human history. If you look at the major world religions, we don't find this claim made that God the Father, or God the Mother for that matter, that the Supreme Absolute Truth personally comes to this world and walks among us. This is the unique claim of the Vaishnava tradition. Christianity talks about the Son of God. Of course, Islam talks about a prophet. Buddhism talks about an enlightened or one very wise being who ended his whole karma. But this particular claim, in the Jainas, Jain tradition is atheist, although they believe in an eternal soul. And so, among the major world religions, this is a unique claim. It's simply, no one else claims this. That the original source of everything, the absolute truth, has personally come down and lived among us, and in fact comes regularly in various avatars, in various descents. This is unique. And so this unique supreme spiritual knowledge, which is not meant to defeat any other tradition, but simply to provide this most valuable insight that actually Krishna, God in a particular part of the world, has come down and personally lived among us. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was born, we always say about 500 years ago, we'll probably say that for the next 500 years, but someday we're going to have to adjust that number. So technically, Lord Chaitanya appeared 523 years ago. Yes, 523 years ago. He was born in 1486 by the Western calendar. So he was born 523 years ago. And Krishna himself. So Krishna, the same Krishna who's in our heart. This most important fact, I mean, what, nowadays people, we tend to be addicted to news, there are so many news sites, and there are probably about at least 13 blogs for every human being on earth. So there is so much so-called communication, but what could be, even if you have a really good ringtone, perhaps you could turn it off. Unless you make it like so danceable that you might be tempted. So, what could be as important, what could be even remotely comparable to this simple fact that the Supreme Lord, God, the Absolute Truth, is living within our body, is actually living within our body, specifically in the heart, as Krishna says, Ishvara Sarva Bhutana Hrde Shaya Ishvati Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sandhi Vishka, and so on. So the fact that Krishna is actually within our heart, and that same absolute truth is not only in our heart, but manifests as the pure devotee, such as Srila Prabhupada, personally come to this world. We can see that Krishna is making so many good faith efforts. Krishna is making so many arrangements to help us. Because, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Pitaham asya jagato, I am the father of this world. Mata, and the mother. Krishna is the father of this world, and he is the mother. Pitaham asya jagato, mata, dhata, pitamaha, the creator, the grandfather. So, this relationship with Krishna, our eternal relationship with Krishna, if we can simply revive it, our lives will be perfect. Our lives will be perfect. Certain corporations like Walmart want to persuade us that, you know, we can find anything in the universe under one roof. But actually, the real one-stop shopping is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Because everything we have, our very life, with our strength, our consciousness, everything, the rain, the wind, everything that exists is the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of God. So this relationship, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yavasayatmika Bhutir Ekeha Guru Nanda. There is a, when your intelligence, when your understanding becomes determined, that is only one. you realize that you really only have one thing to do in your life, and that is to find Krishna. Give yourself to Krishna. As far as our financial issues, social, political, family, psychological, historical, environmental, whatever, all these other issues, of course, Arjuna did not walk off the battlefield and just sort of, you know, become a spaced out sadhu. Not that sadhus are spaced out, but that's not what he said. The whole point of Bhagavad Gita was not to convince, not that after hearing Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna ripped off his warrior clothes, put on the dress of sannyas, said goodbye to Draupadi and Subhadra, and took off toward the north, toward the Himalayas. So, when Krishna enlightened Arjuna, or re-enlightened him, because Arjuna, of course, is a Mahabhagavat, he performed his regular duty. He performed his regular duties, both in Varna and Ashram. However, what Krishna told Arjuna at the end of Bhagavad Gita was, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja, giving up all dharmas, come to me alone for shelter. This does not mean, obviously Krishna was not telling Arjuna, okay, I'll finish in just a few minutes after this point. That was a sort of very polite hook. Anyway, I just want to make the point because you guys were late, not me. So the point is that if you understand this last verse of the Gita, Sarva Dharman Paritya Jamam Ekam Sharanam Braja, to understand this, you have to see the contrast between the verse Sarva, and the word Sarva and the word Ekam. Krishna is saying that give up every dharma, give up all dharmas, and come to me alone, me only, for shelter. So Krishna is not telling Arjuna to give up his dharmas in the sense of stop being a warrior, stop being the husband of your wife or the father of your children. He's telling Arjuna that these things are not shelter. These things will not save you. You have to do them as a process to build your character and to fulfill your duty to other people. But these things will not save you. These things are not shelter. And Krishna says also earlier in the same chapter of the Gita, Tameva Sharanam Gacha, go to the Lord alone for shelter. Sarva-bhavi-navara. Of course, Krishna sends us people to help us. Krishna sends us family, friends, sometimes a policeman, or a fire person. So, I mean, these things are also Krishna, but ultimately, in our heart, we understand that the only hope for me is Krishna. And if I have a good family, if I have friends who will stand by me, if I have other advantages in life, this is all the mercy of God. It's actually Krishna who's given me these things, and the hope, my real hope, to preserve what I have, and to somehow obtain what I need to live peacefully and happily, that all these things will come from Krishna, from God. Therefore, the Vedanta begins, Janmadhyasajataha, everything is coming from that absolute truth. So the source of our own existence, that of which we are a part, that person who is our most intimate friend, that person who at every moment is protecting us, even if we are ignorant of it, like a little child. The child is playing, not understanding how the mother and father are taking so much trouble to protect the child, to feed the child, to clothe the child. The child is playing, not understanding what the parents are doing. Similarly, we are playing in this world trying to, you know, further what we feel are our worldly objectives, often forgetting that someone is actually watching over us, protecting us, and providing everything for us. And that person came to this world personally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and today is his appearance day. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, last sound bite. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us we should chant Hare Krishna, so we'll do that now. Watch, right off the seat. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shanti. Shanti.
Sarvana Sridharanta Dasgoswami Maharaj Ki.